funny thing working with an orchestra of that size is it's not like with a band where you can just go, let's go and like try it out. So a lot of the in the planning stage, the music's written as sheet music, so you can't hear it. You know, you dream about what you want it to sound like, and we kind of rearrange some of the tunes and put some embellishments on. But it wasn't till the day before in the one and only rehearsal that we had that it starts to come to life. And for me, it was actually the morning of the show, because I wasn't involved in the first stage. So as soon as you start hearing those tunes played like that, and then and you're so focused on the show and it comes around so fast, and you're not really aware of the vastness of the room when you step on that stage. And I'm standing behind 65 players. It was like driving the biggest crazy Formula One car I've ever been in. A lot of the early house music was written by people who, as kids, had grown up listening to disco, and disco was orchestrated. You know, they did have access to big string sections and big bands. And I think that the early house records, the people were playing on simpler keyboards, you know, one finger wizardry, were playing kind of string parts. You know, they could just press a button that said string on their Juno or whatever, and they'd get a string part and they'd fiddle around with it a bit, filter it a bit, and it would kind of sound kind of cool. But that it was written, you know, the string part was written. So many of these tunes have the string part written. They just could never have dreamt that they were going to have a 65-piece orchestra play those parts. The Heritage Orchestra consider themselves to be a symphony orchestra, not a classical orchestra. They like to be operate in the contemporary realm, and this is very much their speciality. They've worked with Bjork and they've worked with Basement Jack, so they're enthralled with modern music. They look at it and they play it and they enjoy it, and that adds a different kind of verve to the whole thing.
And what about the album then? What will be on the album?
Well, I mean, what happened after the prom? I mean, we had an amazing time at the prom, and then we all got backstage afterwards, like, you know, kind of buzzing from the experience. But it was really the following few days, thanks to the iPlayer. And the whole thing kind of went viral. There was this crazy 2 or 3 weeks where everybody around the world seemed to become aware of it. And there was that thing of, why weren't we there? Why didn't we know about it? When is it happening next time? So there was this kind of groundswell of interest for us to do it again. And when we eventually sorted out how to do it again and where to do it again, we thought, well, if we're going to get back together again and there was all this interest, we should document it. They didn't want to be recorded live. They didn't want to, they thought it just, you know, live in the room. They said that would be pants, would be the word. If you're in the room experiencing the orchestra, it's amazing, but actually just recording it live and then actually playing it back on a CD or something, it wouldn't sound that exciting. So I worked with Mark Ralph, who's a renowned kind of record producer and someone I've worked with before. And we decided to make a record and make it like we were making a proper album. So the core band of the Heritage Orchestra record their parts. We did string work, and we've turned it into something else. So it's everything. It's basically that prom show, but a super kind of enhanced version of it. You know.